Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You always go to purdyinsurance.com. We're the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline, well, that's 1-800-795-9565. You guys go to Lenape Solar and online at LenapeSolar.com. And Kevin's segments are sponsored by TMZ.
Woohoo!
Not sure that's something to be proud of.
Listen, it's the small things in life that get me excited. A little football on a Friday night, a little football on a Saturday, Sunday.
Well,
football on Monday.
Nothing wrong with football on a Friday night. That's something to get excited about.
And a sponsor for me to talk.
I mean,
most times people pay me not to. Just move right along, all right?
I can see where they're coming from.
What? Just move right along.
The officials expect Bill Belichick to get a six-figure fine out of what happened last night at the end.
I understand his frustration.
Right, but at the same time, you still can't put your hands on an official. I would expect it to be $100,000. I expect that he will not be suspended, but he'll be warned that if he does it again, he'll be suspended.
Do you think it'll be six figures because they just got a letter? All the coaches and owners and everything just got a letter last week about it?
No, I think it'll be six figures because John Fox got $30,000,
right.
and Jack Del Rio got $25,000 for all the arguing in the Broncos Monday night game. Here he actually put his hand on the official's shirt and grabbed him. See what I mean? I understand that, but you still can't do it though.
When he stuffed the picture in the remote
commissioner, either.
That's true. That's a good point.
On strike, saying, "Hey, look, how can you relate to the rank and file of the world when you're making so much money yourselves?" Correct.
Yes.
Well, if you've noticed in recent labor, 7 years ago, the NHL. Locked out the players. They'll never lock them out for a whole year. They did. But the owners locked the players out 7 years ago. When the NBA had its situation last year, the NBA owners locked the players out. When the NFL last year had its situation, the NFL owners locked the players out. The players were not on strike. The players were not on strike last summer. The NBA players were not on strike. The NHL players, locked out again, are not on strike. Okay? And the NFL referees are not on strike. They're locked out. Players last summer were not on strike. They were locked out. There's a big difference. And it's interesting to see labor in sports over the last 7 years change from players exiting and going on strike to now each one of these impasses is a lockout. And that's the story here with this. Again, it's management locking out the rank and file. And it's a totally different scenario than what we saw 30 years ago. Well, let's even take it back. It's a totally different scenario than 1972 in baseball, where a player strike wiped out 9 games. And in 1972, it caused something that has never happened since. Not everyone playing the same amount of games. Do you realize the Tigers in 1972 won the division by a half game over the Red Sox because the Red Sox played one fewer game?
That's almost as bad as when they started counting the scab games in the NFL.
But they picked up where the schedule started and never made up, so they had an odd number of games. 81, the players went on strike. Resolve came back, finished out. Okay. That was in baseball. 82, players went on strike. USA Today feeling great. They published on September 5th for the first time. They're all excited. NFL goes on strike. Helped college football a lot that year. The NFL played, well, how many games did they play that year? Nine games? 1987, the players went on strike. That's when they used the replacement players for 3 games. So Clifford Franklin and the replacements looks over at the Dallas Cowboys player and says, I'd like your autograph. I went, you sure thing, scab.
You know, that was on, I think it was TNT this weekend.
On every week.
And I thought of you right away is when I turned by it.
Every week it's on. Okay. So those are the labor impasses. Those are strikes. And, of course, the 1994 Major League Baseball players' strike almost ruined the game forever.
That was the worst one. Of any of them, that was the absolute worst. It happened in August. Ruined the playoffs, ruined the World Series.
I think there was I thought there was like a one-day strike as well. I'm trying to remember. I think it was in the 80s in Major League Baseball. It lasted one day and they were back. Okay. It was fast.
I just remember 94. I mean, that was horrid. I mean, if it wouldn't have been, and I still say to this day, Cal Ripken saved baseball after that.
Well, he did. The streak saved it, and the home run saved it. I mean, you could talk about the steroid thing all you want, but Cal Ripken and the streak helped get people interested again. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, you can talk about the steroid thing all you want.
That definitely helped, okay? Yeah.
But get everybody excited about baseball again, okay?
Although I am a little happy because in my collection of things, I have a 1994 World Series baseball that was never used. That was a ball made for the World Series that I actually picked up. Mm-hmm. That was never used, so it's a neat little collection piece.
But since 2005, everything with labor and sports, lockout. Find that interesting?
Well, I was just going to ask you, what do you think has caused the change? Is it some? Is it the ownership wanting more power?
This is ownership trying to pull all the strings and empower their side. It's definitely an ownership tactic. Okay, I mean, why 7 years later? Let me explain to you why 7 years later, when the NHL locks the players out for a year because they absolutely positively have to have the deal that they have, okay? And then when they come back, have 6 years of the greatest growth in the history of the NHL. Why are they locking the players out again? I thought you already had the ultimate deal that you needed. I mean, I find what the NHL is doing right now, they now haven't lost any games yet, okay? But they're getting close. And this is a year of celebration for the NHL. This is the 40th anniversary of the Summit Series with the Soviets. It's the 40th anniversary of the starting of the WHA, in which four teams were eventually absorbed into the NHL, would have been a year of celebration in Edmonton, a year of celebration in Winnipeg. You know, one thing that did, the absorption of teams, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Quebec, and Hartford, back in 79-80, is it put three more Canadian teams in there. It was huge back then. Now, eventually, Quebec moved to Denver, and the Colorado Avalanche, and the Jets moved eventually to Phoenix, began the Phoenix Coyotes, and, of course, we know Hartford's in Carolina now, but that's American to America. But, you know, but Winnipeg's back because Atlanta moved up there. I mean, this is a golden, it should be a golden time for them. They're having record ratings on TV. They have a great television contract, the best that they've ever had. I mean, it's not the NFL contract, but they aren't the NFL. They're the NHL, right? And they're locked out again. Huh? I thought you got the ultimate contract you wanted 7 years ago. You fought a whole year for that thing. I'm totally confused.
But think about it. In the recent years, the NHL, twice. The NBA, recently. The NFL, last year. Now we have the referees in the NFL this year. I mean, in the last 3 to 5 years, one of the major sports has had some sort of a contract dispute that has changed the way that we look at these sports.
I'm completely taken aback. The NHL thing I'm completely taken aback by.
Well, and this doesn't seem like it's going to be resolved anytime soon, because you've got some high-profile NHL players that are already making arrangements to play in their home countries or something.
Well, that's what the NBA did last year, too. Remember, Darren Williams was playing in Yugoslavia,
right.
You know.
But that tells me that they don't feel it's going to be resolved anytime soon, though.
Just trying to cover their backs, and I don't blame them. Let's see. Wiped out NHL plan to challenge the lockout, Labor Board Quebec. I mean, industry revenue has grown from $2.1 billion to $3.3 billion annually under the expiring deal. Owners asked the players to cut their share of hockey-related revenue from 57 to 43%, then modify their offer to 46% during the six-year deal. Players are concerned management has not addressed its problems by re-examining the team's revenue-sharing format. The sides have not had full bargaining sessions since August 31st. Look, just make it 50-50. We're done. They'll accept that.
I mean, come on. The NHL Network's running out of programming right now.
I mean, Tuukka Rask... He says, I hear November, December, and New Year's as possibilities. Asked if anyone was talking about playing in October, he said no.
Well, imagine if they don't get started until 2013. What is the one NHL game that has gotten more attention over the last several years than anything else?
A regular season game.
Yeah. Right, that's what I mean.
That's the New Year's Day game.
The New Year's Day game, that's right. And can you imagine if that goes away? I mean, that was one where people that didn't even watch the NHL would actually care.
Yeah, it's in Detroit. It's going to be actually, it's not in Detroit, it's in Ann Arbor. They're going to be playing at Michigan Stadium,
yeah.
Yeah. Winter Classic cancellation would be devastating for all. The one source of hope that hockey fans have clung to during the opening week of the latest lockout is that, unlike when 2004-05 season was canceled due to labor, this time around the Winter Classic is there to save the day and drive everyone back to the bargaining table to hammer out a deal. After all, who would want to miss the opportunity to have the Detroit Red Wings play the Toronto Maple Leafs in front of 114,000 at Michigan Stadium? Toronto Star reported Friday that, according to a source, Commissioner Gary Bettman plans to pull the plug on this season's Winter Classic as early as November.
Wow.
Listen. Gary told the owners he was going to cancel the Winter Classic in November because he didn't want the players to use the game as leverage.
I mean, I have friends that went to Philadelphia that aren't even hockey fans, but they wanted to be part of an event that was just unheard of for Citizens Bank Park. Why would you want to take a chance on losing?
I don't understand what the thought process is here. I don't quite get that. Revenues have gone up from $2.1 billion to $3.3 billion. Well, it looks to me like you're all headed in the right direction.
Sounds more like the G word to me. Greed.
I mean, honest to goodness, I find this to be... I don't see the purpose in it. I don't see the purpose in it. The NHL is finally getting a toehold in what's going on. Between NBC Sportsnet, which used to be Versus, NHL Network itself, NBC, more people are watching than ever. Early in the year, does it matter if there's hockey in October? Not really, okay? Because a lot of people aren't paying attention, unless the real diehard, the real diehards are. I am completely baffled by what they're trying to do here. And I'm starting to get a little baffled by the NFL. And I'll explain the NFL's worst-case scenario with the officials that occurred last night in the game. All right? And we'll talk about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Go to Market Street in Sunbury or purdyinsurance.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 mpg Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from, all at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Welcome back, and let's explain the scenario. The worst-case scenario for the National Football League came true last night. And, Kevin, that was what?
The worst-case scenario was that they had another issue, problem with the NFL officials and the replacement officials.
And then what?
The debate about what? Are you talking about the field goal?
Nope.
All right. What did I miss then? What one are you looking at?
Okay. The worst case scenario is not Bill Belichick grabbing the sleeve of the official at midfield.
Okay.
It is when the Ravens were called for unsportsmanlike conduct. And then that stadium, in unison, 65,000 people started to chant. And it was loud. It was clear. It couldn't be covered up.
I wasn't thinking about that.
Oh, no. It was. I sat back and said, that's the worst thing. When the fans start to turn, those are your consumers. When they get that mad, even the people in the luxury suites were chanting up in the Barty section.
Okay.
When they start to chant what they chanted last night, that was loud, clear, and perfectly enunciated for several minutes. Roger Goodell had to put his head down at that moment and say, we've got a problem. It's one thing when John Fox is mad. It's another thing when Bill Belichick's mad. It's another thing when the people who make up the TV ratings are outraged. Last night was an Armageddon moment. If they get back to the table, that'll be the moment that drove them back.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, let's get to it here. Let's see. I talked about the situation last night in Baltimore. And all the Barty fans were out there chanting their chant. Question time listener. Hi, Steve. My name is Paul, Penn State alum with a Bachelor of Science in 94, also another degree in 97, a Master's in 97, a Ph.D. in 2000. Well, first of all, you've just established you're far more intelligent than I am. I should be asking you questions.
That's right. I was going to say, you should be listening to this show. That's too smart for us.
That's why I always kid John Urshel all the time. I said, man, you are too smart to play football. All right. I'm a longtime listener, love your broadcast, and look forward to hearing you on the radio every year, particularly during football season. I wanted to ask you a question. Can you tell me about the defensive system Penn State plays now and how it differs from what was run under Tom Bradley? I read that Ted Roof likes to play an aggressive style and prefers man coverage. I have a hard time deciphering what they're doing with their pass coverage from TV and radio. Part of the Temple game on TV and thought it looked like they were playing zone on passing downs. Really appreciate hearing your take from Paul. Well, they're trying to give quarterbacks false pre-reads, Paul. That's what they're trying to do. They play press coverage on the outside, and then there are times, especially when they're in the red zone, they'll man up with the safeties as well. If not, then they'll play press on the corners and then two deep zone with safety help, and occasionally they'll play Tampa 2. Tampa 2 is where you'll notice the splits of the safeties are a lot wider, okay? And that means that center zone is being filled by the dropping middle linebacker. That's Tampa 2. So they have all these concepts in there. They can play two deep. Occasionally, if they want three deep, they can play straight man. They can play press cover in the corners with a two, or they can play Tampa, which is the dropping in the middle linebacker. And that's why Mike Hall, you noticed on passing downs, is in the game now, and he is better suited for it than Glenn Carson. So those are some of the things they do. They've also taken Daquan Davis, brought him in the game at corner, and they've been flipping Adrian Amos to Malcolm Willis' safety spot. On what they perceive to be obvious passing downs. So I hope that answered the question. Kevin, are you confused?
No. I just had to draw everything out. I'm good now.
You had to draw it out?
Yeah, the Tampa 2. I had to draw it out, then I got it.
That's just the dropping in the middle linebacker into the center zone. I mean, that's... It is.
No, I knew. I mean, what you're talking about.
Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Monty Kiffin, Lane Kiffin's father, is the one that used that a lot. So that's where that comes from. But Penn State uses a variation of that. Okay? But so those are the different defenses. And they try to disguise what they're in. They're trying to disguise a man look. They're trying to disguise a zone look. They're trying to disguise a Tampa look. There are a lot of things. A lot of it's false pre-reads and trying to aid in the Penn State game. The Penn State got away with it. All right? There was one play. It was down the near sideline as we could see it. What happened is that Temple was in cover three. So Temple's in cover three. They want you to. That's the ball they're hoping you'll throw. Covered, and Matt took the bait and he took the read. Allen did. He threw it to him, and it ended up being a touchdown. But that is not the read Matt expected him to make. Matt expected him to make the outside, throw away the safety. And again, the corner in a play like that, when a guy takes an inside release like that, well, Caraway is going to give safety help, except he overran it. When he did, Robinson took off and scored. So you have to get lucky sometimes because that's not what Matt read from the coverage. He was going to take it to the outside. Sometimes you get lucky.
Will need surgery. Rose-colored. X Ryan ruled out Revis for the season. That started
I think he did in the opening.
Pre-same amount.
It's an ACL, an MCL, PCL. And the ACL... then the door is open to possibly.
Just think back years ago, yeah. Or year things. By the way, best news of the day was Hayward Bay is back home.
That's good.
He left the hospital last night. I mean, I watched that. He was out cold when he hit the ground. It was very, very scary.
Yeah, no, I was watching it at the same time, too. And again, there was no penalty called in the play. It was helmet to helmet.
Well, let me ask you this. All right,
it's helmet to helmet.
Hold on. Just listen a minute. He goes up.
Irrelevant.
He goes up in the air, elevates himself, and leans to catch the pass.
Irrelevant.
It wouldn't have been helmet to helmet if he would have been in the same place when he left. Will you let
me finish? Automatic. Helmet to helmet is an automatic flag.
I understand, but don't you have to lead with it? Don't you have to?
It's still an automatic penalty. It is not a judgment call. Helmet to helmet is not a judgment call. It's an automatic. Okay, it's like mandatory sentencing in the courts.
All right.
Okay? No matter what. I mean, how many times have we seen a hand slap a helmet? That's
right.
A penalty.
Right.
Well, guess what? What does slapping a helmet do?
I don't think it should be a penalty.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, though. But it's an automatic penalty. This is worse.
But you're taught to lead with your shoulder. The guy makes an adjustment to get to the football, and it ends up your helmet to helmet.
But that I've seen that happen all the time. It's so I mean, realize, okay, wrong place, wrong time, wrong angle, but it's still a penalty.
Okay, all right.
Has to be. Okay.
I was just glad he's home. I mean, I was glad.
I'm glad he's home, too.
That was a
big thing. But it has to be a penalty.
Well, it may not have been a penalty at the time, but I'm sure it's going to be a penalty in another 24 hours. It'll be a financial penalty in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, to a point. I mean, again, I mean, sometimes it's just a question of, look, I was leading with the shoulder, and all of a sudden he ducked down and I hit him. Well, you can't pull up at that point, but it's still a penalty.
But then did you hear Ian Eagle right after that? Then he went back to something you were talking about last week and was talking about replacement officials and the safety of the players. I'm not sure that would have been any different with a regular official either.
Look, you could have had the regular referees out there yesterday.
Right.
Okay? Guess what? He'd still be in the hospital today.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe they wouldn't have thrown the flag either. I mean, I've seen things thrown things not
thrown. But
what
does it do about player safety?
Right.
Okay? He already got hit.
That was the other point, was it didn't really change anything. It's not like a regular official would go out there and get in between the two of them to stop it from happening.
Right. I mean, he already got hit. It had nothing to do with who was officiating the game. Nothing. Let's see.
By the way, Matt McGloin, the Big Ten Player of the Week. according to ESPN.
Yeah, he should be. Nobody right, to be honest with you? You can talk up Braxton Miller all you want, but nobody's playing better quarterback right now than Matt McGloin in this conference.
Oh, by the way, do I get props for my pick of Notre Dame?
I don't even remember you saying it.
Crickets. That's what I figured I'd hear from you. Crickets.
Bill Belichick said today that he meant no disrespect to the official whose shirt he grabs as the official's running out the field, saying he was trying to find out whether the game-winning field goal was under review.
Well, if everybody's running off the field and the officials were too, there's a clue that it's not going to be reviewed.
Right.
But, you know, Belichick has never broken an NFL rule, so.
No, but, I mean, I can understand he's trying to get his attention. I mean, that's what
I
said. You did not hear me once say that he was grabbing the official.
No.
I said he was trying to get his attention because he was behind him at that point.
There was no malicious intent involved. No question.
Right. That's why I think he'll get fined heavily because he did it, but he's not going to be suspended. League is reviewing the incident as well as the conduct of Ravens coach John Harbaugh. You know what I found interesting about the play that sent the stadium into an uproar in the chant last night? Why is it we never saw a replay of what Harbaugh said or did on the sideline?
Well, I think now I did see something on NFL. I did see something on NFL.com that it was what he said, not how.
No. Remember, these coaches in an 18 camera game, each one is ISO'd.
Right.
Why didn't we see that?
But see, that's what I'm saying. I think I did. I think it was on the NFL.com site.
No,
but NBC may not have shown it.
That's exactly right. Why didn't they show that? And I wondered that the entire time. I kept thinking, because look, I know how this works. Each coach is ISO'd. Why do you think you got so many reaction shots last night? Because they were on the coaches the whole time. Each one is assigned a camera.
That was the NBC.com camera that you would have seen it on.
But you never saw it. We saw everything else. We even him post-mortem saying, I wanted a timeout. We saw that one, didn't we?
Yes.
How come we didn't see the first part of it?
And you know what? Come to think of it, as you're describing it, that may have been what the NFL.com video had shown, too.
Yeah, guess what?
Was the back half of that. You're probably
guess what?
Right.
Maybe he crossed the line and deserved his little penalty.
Well, wasn't it because he was out on the field? Isn't that the explanation of the penalty?
They can explain it all they want.
Here we are, though, in the first half of the season, and all we can discuss is a penalty that should have been, a penalty that wasn't, a penalty that was.
I'm just saying, I found that one weird last night. The thing that set the stadium off, okay, that set the stadium off, breaking every FCC rule you can think of.
I was going to ask that next. How do they get away without a fine for NBC?
He can't. No, NBC has no choice. What choice did they have? They could have turned off all the mics in the field, and guess what? It would have come through the announcer's mics. What are you supposed to do? You can't. They're not in violation of anything. But the play that got them going, how come we never saw an ISO on the sideline of what happened? They have more cameras at a game than anybody else, and each coach is ISO'd. I know they are. Why? That confused me more than anything else last night. We saw the aftermath. I was calling a timeout. Why'd they have a camera showing that? What, they just ran over and just happened to get lucky?
Do I detect that you're thinking there was NBC saw nothing and they didn't want to make the NFL look bad?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I want to know what the heck he said or what he did.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I want to know what he said or did. He has a right to go on the field and call timeout. He has a right to go on the field to get the official's attention and say, I want timeout. He has that right. Yeah, so...
Speaking of a timeout.
Well, we'll take one now. Come back with more. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com, Market Street in Sudbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. They're going to cap the 2015 NCAA Championship football game at six potential sites. 2014 season is the first time they're going to go to the semifinal format. And on January 12, 2015, there'll be a championship game. They're going to cap it at Glendale, Arizona, Miami, New Orleans, Pasadena, Cotton Bowl in Dallas, and the Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta.
I'm putting my money on the Cotton Bowl.
They will be the only sites that will have the opportunity to host the 2015 title game. So the four current BCS Bowls, Fiesta in Glendale, Orange in Miami, Sugar in New Orleans, Rose in Pasadena, along with the Cotton Bowl in Arlington and the Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta, the only six sites that will be available. Starting in 2016, they expect others to join in. Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Ford Field in Detroit, Jones Dome in St. Louis, the Florida Citrus Bowl in Orlando, the Reliant Stadium in Houston, Qualcomm in San Diego, Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, and James Stadium in Tampa are expected to join the bidding then. But in 2015, for the 2014 season, January 12, 2015, only those six will get consideration.
Jerry Jones will not let it go away from the Cotton Bowl.
Well, I'm sure he won't.
Money talks.
It's the kind of, well, but he's right in the thick of it. And he's worked hard at resurrecting the image of the Cotton Bowl. I can tell you after doing a game in Cotton Bowl Stadium 9 months ago.
You're not in any hurry to go back?
Oh, man. Now, I went over to Jerry World, by the way.
Jerry World.
Oh, what a palace that is.
There's a big TV there, too.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. The complex, they have Six Flags Great Adventure. Arlington Stadium where the Rangers play, which is gorgeous. Jerry World. And across the street from that is a Super Walmart. I said to myself, what doesn't fit?
You got it all.